But in our minds, it was like, oh yeah, remember when we had to do that video service because, you know, people weren't meeting, and that was, you know, that was March of last year, and so it's been quite a, remember that was the 2 weeks to flatten the curve, remember that, you know, that was right around that time, that was a long many weeks ago, but we're thankful to be here with you this morning. I'm going to take just a few minutes to let you know kind of what has been going on in our lives with Hong Kong. Most of you know we have 5 children, and there's a prayer card out in the lobby, by the way, if you'd like to get one of those. And a lot of people have been confused about which son this is, okay, because that was about 2 years ago, and he's grown like 4 inches since then. And we tease him that that's his chubby Jonathan, and this is tall and skinny Jonathan. When you look at it, you'd be like, he's not chubby. We just tease him about it, okay? But and so a couple years ago, we got all of that done, and our whole family is on that prayer card. Our daughter, Sarah, graduated Bob Jones in December with a social studies ed degree and a music minor. She married a guy, graduated from Bob Jones. He was a business major. If you've been to the Wilds in the summers, you probably have seen him. He was a lead counselor. His name is Zach Kirchner, and pastor. That was my first time marrying off a daughter, and the marrying part was actually easy. Getting to that part, he probably thought, will it ever happen, you know, because, you know, working through all of that, but it went great, and thankful for them. They are ministering in a church in Lexington, Kentucky, Bluegrass Baptist Church. And it is because of the Bluegrass State, that is the name of their church, and they are there. We've just visited with them about a week ago, and my kids will not be surprised that I had tears welling up in my eyes just hearing them talk about all they were getting involved in already, and just praising the Lord. He is a talented musician, so he's helping with the music. He was a business major, so he's helping in that aspect. He's working with the youth. She is teaching music and hopefully going to teach in a school this fall. And so just excited to see how the Lord is using them. Our son Nathan will graduate this spring from Bob Jones University with a Bible major. And he is right now working through the whole process of finding a church where he is going to get involved in. I actually taught a youth ministry class just recently, and I told the guys, I said, guys, I've gone through this just already with my son-in-law. Now I'm going through it with my son about the questions you ask of a pastor, the things you need to find out, how closely aligned you need to be, what are some things that are okay if you're not exactly the same, what are some things that need to be, all of that. So he's going through all of that right now, and we're praying for the Lord's leading there. He gets married in June, and that is why we're still here, actually, kind of. Our daughter got married in January. We were going to fly back to Hong Kong after the wedding. And the Monday after the wedding, I was not feeling well. We were supposed to fly on Wednesday. And that Monday, I was like, I think I'm getting sick. And I went and got tested, and I had COVID. And so we're like, we're not going anywhere right now. So we waited a couple weeks. I think all 4 of us had it. They didn't get tested, but it was like, hey, none of us are going anywhere. So we waited a couple weeks, went and rescheduled our flights. We have to quarantine for 3 weeks at a hotel in Hong Kong at our own cost. So that's two rooms for 3 weeks. All food, you know, the food they take care of, it's pretty expensive. So we waited 2 weeks. We all got negative COVID tests. And if you know anything about COVID, sometimes you can test positive long after the symptoms are gone. So we were like, Lord, please help us test negative. We all tested negative. We're like, we know this is the Lord's will for us to head back. It's so clear. We got to the Atlanta airport, all of our stuff. We're ready to go. Handed our paperwork over and waited an hour and a half while they were looking at our paperwork. And I was like, this is not a good sign. Lady came back with the airlines, and it's not her decision, but the immigration in Hong Kong did not like our paperwork of our COVID tests. And one of the things they pointed out was the date of the COVID test and the time of the COVID test were on two different lines, and clearly they need to be on the same line. I mean, that was one of the issues. There were a couple other issues, and so we loaded back up, drove back to Greenville, and got in touch with my pastor and then our board, and I just said, listen, we want to do the right thing. I don't want to be that person who, when something difficult happens, you just go, oh, well, we'll just stay here. I didn't want to do that, but I also wanted to be a wise steward of our resources and our time. And thinking of quarantining twice and double plane tickets, as the gap started closing between June and January, we felt that it was just best for us to stay here, really even with a lot of uncertainty with COVID. The lady at the airport said, you may come back a couple more times and have this same issue, even trying to do everything just right. And so we said, okay, we're going to stay here and go visit churches that are supporting us, and we are enjoying it, and thank the Lord that we can be here. That all came from my son Nathan, all right? That's his fault for all, I mean, getting off on that tangent. But Nathan gets married in June, and then I'll be speaking for a week of teen camp at the Wilds that Monday. So he gets married on a Saturday, Wilds Monday through Saturday, and then we will leave that Wednesday, Lord willing, back to Hong Kong. My daughter Abby is a freshman at Maranatha Baptist University as an elementary education major and enjoying it there, mostly enjoying it, except for the cold. But other than that, she's like, I'm really glad I like this school because the cold is really cold. But then Annie, who is playing the viola up here this morning, she is a junior in high school, and we have homeschooled them all the way up. And so it's been really a pretty easy transition. I say easy. I'm not the one doing it, right? Tiffany's smiling at me. It's been easier than it could have been, okay? The transition from moving to Hong Kong, we've just kind of kept doing what we've been doing. And she's doing a lot of dual enrollment college credit stuff now. Jonathan is a freshman in high school. He was playing the cello. And he is 15, just turned 15 in December. Annie is 16, will be 17 in July. Most of you know, about 8 years ago, my first wife passed away after a 10-month battle of colon cancer. And I won't spend a whole lot of time on that, but it helps you kind of, you know, when I say that Tiffany and I have been married almost 7 years, and you see our kids, you're like, wait, time out. So there is an explanation. And the Lord took my wife Julie home in 2013. We've been married 18 years. And I had told people all the time, and I'm sure pastors probably said this, I couldn't do the ministry without my wife. There's no way I could have done what I was doing at the Wilds. And I said it multiple times, and then my wife got cancer. And we knew right away that the time was short because of the tests that were coming back. And Julie always said, Matt, you need to get remarried. She said that right from the beginning, and it really irritated me. Okay, men, some of you can understand. You'd be like, you know what? Let's get you better. I don't want, you know, any talk of. And right up until the end, she was telling her mom and my mom, and he needs to get remarried. And I was saying, knock it off. Stop. That's not going to happen. And well, I'm glad Julie was right and the Lord was right and I was wrong. And Tiffany had been working at the Wilds, and she had taught school in the school there. I knew she was involved in music. She loved ministry. Her dad is a pastor in Atlanta. She is the second oldest of seven girls in her family, so God bless her dad, okay? I've joked that they had drama camp every day at their house. So Tiffany understood a large family. She grew up being homeschooled. She understood homeschooling, and I'm just thankful that she was willing to say, hey, you know, this might be what God has for me. The story is much more detailed than that. Some of you ladies, you're like, I'd love to hear all the details. The guys, you're like, nope, I'm good, thanks. You know, so, but Tiffany can probably give you more of some of those details, although she says I tell the story the longest, the truth be told. So, but I'm thankful for God's provision and God's faithfulness. The kids and Tiffany have just been an enormous blessing through all of this, through transitioning from stepping away from the Wilds to moving across the world, and this last year and a half with the pandemic and all these kinds of things, the Lord has just been, as he always is, right, faithful and gracious. Sometimes we miss his faithfulness, but it's not that he's not faithful. He always is. What I want to do right now is give you a little bit of an idea. We moved to Hong Kong at the end of August, and I want to give you a little idea of what's been happening since then. Okay, so whirlwind tour. We'll see if this is working up here, guys. Awesome, okay. This is all of our luggage and our thought of trying to get it all to the airport. This is at the Greenville Airport. I don't remember how many bags we had, but we had a bunch. Because of I had flight status with United that allowed each of us to have two free bags up to 75 pounds. So that was nice. But Jonathan had, you can see on his back is his cello that we had to take with us. So that was a ticket that we had to pay for. The cello he has here is one that we've rented since we realized we were staying. We're like, hey, we'll rent one while he's here. His good cello is back home. It's being taken care of, and so it's all safe. This is in Hong Kong. I won't zoom in closely on that picture because we've just been on a long trip. We had an 11-hour layover in Frankfurt, Germany, which was just brutal, but it was fine. We got there and quarantined. This was the first thing we did after quarantine. We got our Hong Kong IDs. The closest thing I can come up with here would be like our Social Security card. It's a little different than that because this thing, you have to have a picture, but this allows you to be able to get your bank account, to do anything in Hong Kong. They're always asking for your Hong Kong ID. Went really smoothly, and thank the Lord for that. I put this up here. It's a little bit blurry, but this is Hong Kong, okay? So everything in the main part of it is Hong Kong. This is where we are living in an area called Tung Chung. That doesn't mean anything to you, but it will in a second. Our pastor lives out in this area. This is where we thought it'd be nice to be really close to him. The housing was a little less expensive than down in the main part of the city. But this will give you a little idea. This is where our church is. Hong Kong Island is the main. When you look at pictures of Hong Kong and you see the massive skyscrapers, I mean, it's actually really stunning with the mountains, the Victoria Harbor, all the buildings. Our church is right down in the heart of that, and I'll show you that here in a second. It's about a 45-minute subway ride to church. And so when I go down to be at the office down there or to go on Sunday mornings, if you take a taxi, it's a little faster. It's just a little bit more expensive. So, and our apartment is within pretty close. If I walk out of here to my car, it's a little bit further than that to the subway from our apartment, which the Lord just really worked that out, allowing us to find that place. I'll show you more about that here in a second. But that is where we are. It's kind of down in the central area of Hong Kong. If you think of downtown New York City, that's kind of where our church is in Hong Kong. I tell people all the time, Hong Kong is a clean and safe version of New York City. And that really is true. It's a big city, bustling, all the kinds of things you'd think of there. But then safe, my kids, if I put them on the subway and sent them downtown, I would have no concerns, just them going by themselves. And so very safe place and very clean. You'll notice right up here is mainland China. And so we are very close to mainland China. Matter of fact, in several places when we're on the subway, you can look out the window and actually see the buildings of the closest city, which is Shenzhen, which is a city of about 13 million people. We have a lot of opportunity, we believe, to even have some ministry into mainland China. We'll see how that all works out, whether it's through education or through sports camps, English camps, fine arts camps, things like that. Obviously, COVID has slowed all of that down, but we're praying for the Lord to continue to open up those doors. This is getting our apartment. Our apartment is about 900 square feet. We are on the 8th floor of a 48-floor apartment complex. And I say 48 minus a few floors, because the number 4, the character for the number 4 in Chinese is very similar to the character for death. So there's no floor 4. There's no floor 14 or 24 or 34, definitely not 44, because that's double death, okay? And it'd be kind of be similar to how, like, hotels, you don't have a floor 13 in many places, okay? So it's a very big building. We are on the 8th floor, 900 square feet, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, and we pay $2,700 a month for that apartment. We budgeted, I think, $3,200 a month. So we were really excited to get this one this close to public transportation at that cost. So we're thankful for that. Hong Kong and Paris this last year were the two most expensive housing markets in the world. So when I was excited about going to Hong Kong, all kinds of neat things, and then I looked at that and I was like, what am I doing? But we're thankful the Lord, through churches like you all, have supported us so that we can be there and minister there. This is the entry. You're looking at the door to go out, okay? That's our digital piano that we got so the kids could practice. They were thrilled about that, okay? This is our little dining room area. This is the living room area. that TV is there so I could watch my Kansas City Chiefs. Had to put that in there. So I did find it fascinating that you all have all your services in the morning. Was that so you could be at, you know, watching the Super Bowl? You know, now we know what that was all about, okay? I did have somebody comment to me, and I had never noticed this until they commented, that they were like, oh, that's really cool that you got a carpet to match the building outside. And I was like, what? I was like, oh, I hadn't even noticed that, all right? So, but that building outside is a massive mall, okay? And it's that close to where we are. There's a Starbucks right at the base of that mall, praise the Lord, okay? There's an Outback Steakhouse in that mall. I took my son Jonathan there for his birthday in December. Okay, so don't feel, people are like, oh, how are you doing with the food? They're like, oh, it's awful. We're just struggling, you know. You'll see a little later after a youth group activity, we all went to Five Guys with the teenagers. And so, I mean, it's pretty westernized there. This is Annie's room, and that is the whole room. So that bed there takes up basically the whole room. She's got a little tiny desk to do her schoolwork. This is Nathan's not there. This is Jonathan's room. He went with the loft bed, and so he's underneath the bed there doing his schoolwork. This is our room. Right outside from there, you can see cable cars going up the mountain. The airport is very, I see planes taking off all the time from there, and you also see the subway going by. So this is the kitchen. This gives you a little better idea of the kitchen. One of the things in this apartment that is unusual, there is an oven, like a full-size oven in the apartment. We were not expecting that, so this was kind of bonus. Most of the apartments have just a convection oven that sits on the counter, and so we were really excited to be able to, Tiffany was especially excited. I was like, oh yeah, great, and she was really excited to have that. This is our apartment building. This is half of the apartment complex that we're in. At one point, I knew approximately how many people were in this, but it's a small city in itself, okay, as far as opportunities to reach people. This, we were on a hike. This kind of shows you where our apartment complex is in relation to the area. This is another picture of the place that we're living. That's our spot right there. Little Christmas trees in there. You probably can't see that, but that's our location. We immediately after we got out of quarantine, we started serving in the church. The church was using a rented shared space facility for services. I won't get into all of that, but there was a financial reason for that because of COVID. We didn't want to be renting a place and paying for it every week when we weren't even allowed to be there. So we had services for about 5 weeks. Was it five, six, something like that? And we did the music. Tiffany played. My kids playing their instruments. You wear masks all the time there. For preaching, you wear a mask. For singing, you wear a mask. I had to learn how to not swallow the mask, you know, every time I took a breath while I was preaching or singing. This is a men's group that we put together. I think we're singing It Is Well With My Soul there. We had some churches that provided money for us to get 100 Majesty hymnals. Take the same one you have here, except ours is blue, but the same one, so we've been able to get that in. The Wilds donated 100 psalm books for us to take over, and so we haven't used them yet because we haven't been in our new place yet. This is singing a quartet there at church. This was the ladies' group. I like showing this because Annie's what? Are you 5'10", 5'9", somewhere in there? And notice the other ladies are not that tall, and so She every time she sees it, she's like, oh, Dad, why do you have to leave that up there, all right? But they all think she's just a giant over there. This is my pastor. This is Pastor Johnson. Pastor Johnson graduated from Bob Jones with an art degree, very skilled and talented in that area. He got a master's in church history, and the Lord called him to China. He was in China for a couple years, and now in Hong Kong. And then he got a doctorate in philosophy. He's one of those people, okay? And a doctorate in philosophy from Hong Kong University, which is like the Harvard of Asia. And he now, along with pastoring, teaches in two different secular universities there. His last semester, he taught a class on religion and science. Do they agree? And every single semester, every single class he has the opportunity to witness to many, many university students. And one of my joys is to be able to be there and help him so that he can continue that ministry, because I don't know who else would be sharing the gospel with those students. And the Lord has gifted him intellectually, has gifted him with a really sweet spirit that the students love. And he has a great ministry there. His dad is a pastor, or was a pastor in Sanford, North Carolina for years. I don't know if you know Steve Johnson. He's been at the Wilds many times, but you'd probably recognize him. But this is his son, Jonathan. And I don't want to give you the whole story of how we ended up meeting together, but I had visited Hong Kong many times, had connected with him. And when I was considering moving to Hong Kong, he told me, Matt, and he had tears coming down his face. He's like, I've been looking for help because I don't know how I can keep up with what God has called me to. And I'm like, this is awesome. This is great. We are very aligned philosophically. Our church service would be very similar to what yours is this morning. And we're just thankful for the privilege to serve together. This is their family. His wife, Catherine, teaches sixth grade in an international school there in Hong Kong. It's a Canadian international school. And by the way, if you're an education major, especially, and you are like, you know what, I'd like to teach, but I love missions too, let me know, because the schools over there, especially the international schools, are looking for people to teach. And you would have an enormous ministry opportunity. I know of a good church you could attend, okay? And also you would get paid very well to do that. So this is their family. Their son Stephen, that's right in the forefront of that picture, is just a couple months older than Jonathan, and so we're thankful for that friendship they have as well. This is our church facility that we were renovating. One of the first things I was helping with once we got there was to get this area renovated. It's on the second floor of a large building in downtown Hong Kong. This is now my office. I've not been in there much, but that is the office. This is our church space. We have about 100, we think we can get about 150 in this space. We're praying that maybe the first floor will become available as well, that we could rent that. But right now, especially in this pandemic time, we don't want to overextend ourselves because we have not actually had a service in this facility yet. We were all ready to go. Our first service was planned for December 6th, and the government shut everything down again. And right now, I think the public gathering is now up to 4. It was 2, but now it's up to 4. You can gather with 4 people. When our family would go out to eat, we'd have to sit 2 at one table, 2 at another, because, you know, we won't get into that, okay? But we're excited to be able to get back. They are not meeting yet. Still doing everything. As Pastor mentioned, I am doing a Sunday school series right now through the book of Proverbs, and I record that each week, upload it to YouTube. Did that yesterday. We're joining in prayer meeting every Wednesday night at 7:30, except for us, that's 6:30 in the morning here. So we're joining prayer meeting every week. I'm leading our youth Bible study every Friday evening, morning, 6:30 here. And then starting this Saturday, we're starting a single young adult Bible study. And I think if I'm checking correctly, we're going to have people in Hong Kong who'll be a part of that, some people in Singapore that'll be a part of that, and some people from the Philippines that'll all be a part of that Bible study. And that'll be on Saturday mornings. I moved it to 8 o'clock their time, so that's 7 o'clock here. It's another reason why we're excited about the time change, because that means it's a little hour closer, so we can sleep in a little longer. But we're thankful that we can stay involved in the ministry there, even while we're here in the U.S. There's the hymnals I was just talking about. This is where our church is located. There's our church sign. We think it's quite funny that the building is called Kingdom Power Commercial Building. Okay, so I don't know what that's all about. But this is looking out the windows of my office there in downtown Hong Kong. You can see some of the trams there, and this is the area that we are in. This is a really poorly drawn arrow. That was me. But that kind of shows you, as you're looking over the city, where our church is located. It's right down in that area. That's Victoria Harbor that you're looking at. This was one of our first youth activities. Notice we're spread out. This is the gym that's a part of our apartment complex that we can rent for, I think it's $10 an hour. So not bad. We can't do this now, but we were able to have a couple weeks. We were able to get together as a youth group. This is some of the young adults and youth over our house. We're playing Sushi Go, if you've ever heard of that game. This is our pastor. We're actually at Hong Kong University here, and we are meeting with several boys who had questions about God. Most of these boys do not believe that God exists, or you would say they would be agnostic. They're not sure. And they had a lot of questions, And Pastor and I got to meet with them. And you can pray for some of these fellows. Some of them have come to a couple of our activities. A couple of them have joined on our Zoom Bible study. But most of them, there's one young man, the one sitting right next to me. His family is in our church. And he has invited all these guys to come. And we've had some really, really good conversations with them. These are some of those same guys. We were teaching them one of my favorite games. This was the youth group activity food stop right after the youth activity. Jonathan and I have had a really neat opportunity to have a small ministry with some guys who enjoy basketball. And these are some of the places that we've had the privilege of playing. These courts are all over Hong Kong. And right now, they shut down again, all the courts. That was the worst part about the whole pandemic. You know, shut down. I'm just kidding, okay? But we had a great time. These are some of the guys. The guy in the red shirt right in the middle, you can pray for him. His name is Joel. And matter of fact, Joel just messaged me this morning, just wondering how I was doing. And I don't know if Joel is saved or not. Joel would probably tell you he is, but he is living a very wicked life right now, and he would admit that. His dad passed away from an alcohol addiction several years ago. And Joel, honestly, and I've told him this, he is on that path if he's not careful. And he messaged me probably 2 months ago because I've been telling him, Joel, none of this satisfies. You're going to be miserable. If you're not already, you're going to be. And he messaged me in the middle of the night and just said, you're right, Pastor, I'm miserable. And but I'm afraid right now is Satan's very deceptive. I think right now Joel is back and very comfortable and enjoying his sin. But you pray for Joel. I have a great relationship with him. We've had Bible studies together. And the guy has connected me with several other people who have then, he's like, hey, you need to go talk to him. He needs Jesus. You need to talk to him. He needs to come to your church. And so he's kind of that kind of gregarious personality. And I'm just praying that in the Lord's timing and his mercy that Joel would come to Christ. This is another couple in our church. We have Stephen and Lucy. Stephen is from Singapore. Lucy is the first person that I've ever met. I've known about this for a long time, that when I asked her, do you have any siblings? She said, well, I grew up in China and we're only allowed to have one. It's the first, and I'm just telling you, I think I reacted fine, but internally it just broke my heart. And the reality of where we are and what these people, many people are dealing with. This is one of our first youth activities, and we went kayaking with a bunch of them. You'll notice the guy in the American flag swimming trunks. That just cracked me up, okay? So he is from Hong Kong, but he spent a lot of time in L.A. too. And I was like, you know, I don't want to, you know, make my American thing the big deal. And so I've tried to, you know, stay away from that. And he showed up in these shorts. I was like, attaboy, Oliver. All right, nice job. So this was a school that we were going to run camp for. If you've seen any of our emails, I was asked to run a camp for 450 fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. And at this international school. And this here I was doing the assembly the day before we were supposed to have camp. We were all set up. We had the schedules gone over. We had the activities ready to go. I had met with the teachers. It was all planned out. And the principal came in literally at the end of my assembly, this here right in here, and said, we've just gotten word from the Board of Education that we have to close down. And so we are ready to go. The school is, they're excited to have me do this again. The vice principal has asked me to consider doing the high school as well. And it's a large school. And one of our prayers is that the Lord allows this to go well. This could be a massive ministry in Hong Kong. Because almost every school does a camp. And I've actually told a couple guys, I think there's potential for somebody to come over, not even have to raise deputation support, and come over and just do this in the schools. Because of the schools will pay for somebody to come do their camp. I've been told by multiple teachers, if you can come make camp for our school fun, everybody will want you to do it. Because they have these camps, but usually they're just kind of boring. And so, well, I know a few things that can make it fun. We can do that. And so you just pray that that ministry will continue to develop. Again, this is not going to happen until some of the restrictions with COVID lift. This is in downtown Hong Kong, Victoria Harbor. This is across the way is where our church is there in Hong Kong. And we are actually in this area where we're standing right here is very close to where Jonathan and Annie will be joining the Metropolitan Youth Orchestra of Hong Kong. They had to audition for that, and just in January, we found out they made it in. And so we're excited about that opportunity as well, that they can get to know a lot of people in the community that way. This is close down to our church, and again, we'll just take your instruments. Hey, see you guys. Have a good night. And they'll hop on the subway, go downtown, go to orchestra, you know, come back home. And again, not a worry at all because of the safety there in Hong Kong. These are several of our church people that we're on a hike with there. We've been able to do a lot of hiking because that's about the only thing you can do with people that is all right. You can't really gather in your homes. You can, but a lot of people are very hesitant about that. You can't go out to eat with people because you have to spread out. And so we can go on hikes. You don't have to wear a mask when you're on a hike, and you can talk to people and be with several people in the church. This was at Christmas in our apartment. This is one of the hikes we did. And again, gives you a little idea of where we are. Hong Kong has the most skyscrapers of any city in the world. New York City is second, and they have half as many. So it tells you kind of the area there. Now, a lot of those are not businesses. A lot of those are apartments. You saw ours as well. This is another family in our church, Heesung and Jaina. Heesung is from Korea, and we have a big mix of nations in our church, and he's one of our key guys there in the church, handles our finances. Jaina teaches, and Catherine joins us every week in our youth Bible study. Caleb, you can probably tell from that picture, he is a mischievous, excitable little boy, and I can't wait till he is a part of the youth group as well. These are a couple other girls in our church, Vienne and Carly. Vienne, as many people do there, speaks very good English, very good Mandarin, and very good Cantonese, and she's a teacher. They're both single, and Tiffany's had a great ministry with the single ladies in our church, writing Bible studies for them every week, and just thankful for that part. And this is the end. This kind of gives you, a lot of people, when they think of Hong Kong, they immediately think of all the buildings in the big city, but it is a gorgeous place. And so I had one person say, "Matt, I'm looking at all your posts on Facebook. Are you trying to tempt people to come to Hong Kong?" I said, "Yes, absolutely." There is an enormous ministry to be had there in a variety of ways, and we are really excited to see how the Lord is going to continue to bless that. All right, if you take your Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 2, you say, "Matt, you've got 10 minutes. I know, I can be really fast." Titus chapter 2. And let me just mention this as well. Continue to pray for our church. When we were having services, we were having two identical services, and we had about 50 in each of those services. Prior to the pandemic, we were running about 125, 150. It's an international church, so the services are in English. But we are just scratching the surface of the opportunities that are there to minister to people. There are a lot of people from a variety of cultures there in Hong Kong that are looking just for good, solid Bible teaching. And one of my desires is to continue to get the word out about Island Baptist Church. Everywhere I go, I try to tell people, "Hey, you need to come meet our pastor. You need to come be a part of our service." And I really believe the Lord is going to open some really exciting doors. His connection with the university, there's a university in mainland China that is kind of like a sister school of the one he teaches at in Hong Kong. And we believe there's going to be some open doors even with that for us to do some English corner kind of things in mainland China. The camp is, if I ran a basketball camp tomorrow in Hong Kong, okay, take away the COVID stuff, but if I put up word, I think we would have several hundred kids wanting to come just to something like that. And there's just a lot of neat things that we're excited about that the Lord may give us opportunity for. The camp thing is another avenue. We are praying about someday starting a school because academics is huge over there. And if you're going to reach young people, you really need to be in the schools because most of their day, most of their week is consumed with schooling. Just at our youth Bible study a couple weeks ago, I asked them, "How many of you tomorrow, Saturday, have some type of lesson or tutoring that you have?" This is for Saturday, and almost every one of them raised their hand. And so that's why it gets really hard for a young person to consider doing anything on Sunday. It's like, hey, Monday through Friday I'm at school. Saturday I'm tutoring all day. Sunday is my day to not do something. And families kind of look at it that way. So we're praying that maybe the Lord will give us opportunity to start a school that we can reach into the homes that way as well and point people to our church and other churches there in Hong Kong. If you have any questions in between times, feel free to come ask me. We are very close to being supported 100%. It's not quite there, but we're very thankful for all the Lord has done through that. Titus chapter 2, let's read verses 11 through 15. Paul writing to Titus says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us." So what does the grace of God teach us? Many people would say, well, grace teaches us that we don't need, you know, we can live however we want, right? We're free. We have grace. Well, here's what grace teaches us. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly or serious-mindedly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what the grace of God teaches us, that we ought to be living for the glory of God. That we ought to be working and striving in our daily lives to not just say, hey, it doesn't matter, but to say, what does God desire for me? Lord, help me to live that way. And obviously, in an ever-changing culture, that looks continually harder and harder, but the darker this world, the brighter your light will shine. Verse 13, in the midst of this, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the Lord to return. One of the things that happens when you lose somebody close to you is you long a little bit more deeply for heaven. You know, I was convicted of this after I lost my wife. I was like, man, I'm excited to get to heaven so I can see my wife. I was like, wait a minute. I ought to be excited to be at heaven so I can see my Savior. Right? Fanny Crosby said, I long to see my Savior first of all. That ought to be our desire. And yes, to see our loved ones, of course. But we ought to be every day saying, Lord, come quickly. Please, Lord. And as the day gets darker, we ought to be longing for our Lord even more. Verse 14, speaking of Jesus Christ, says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify, you could use the word set apart, unto himself a peculiar people, or a people of his own choosing. And here's what describes these people. What describes these people is that they are zealous of good works. Sorry, I took my glasses off. Verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And I really want to focus on the end of verse 14 that tells us that Jesus Christ came, yes, to redeem us. He came, yes, to set apart a special people of his own choosing. And those people, the thing that ought to describe them is that they are zealous for good works. I think often if we're not careful in our effort to make it very clear that we're not saved by works, which is 100% true, we miss the fact that as believers, the very purpose that we were saved for, though, is to work and serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Often if we're not careful, we become so excited about getting somebody saved. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We fail to miss the aspect that every man that is in Christ is a what? New creature. We forget that we are saved unto good works, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? Verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I remember years ago hearing a preacher at the Wild say, we are not saved by works, but we are saved to work. The purpose of our salvation, the purpose of coming to Christ, is not so that we can just say, oh, that's great, I'm going to heaven, but it's so that we will serve him. And our service ought to be characterized by what, according to this verse? By zeal, passion, enthusiasm, fire, excitement. Not something that is made up, not something that is superficial or fake, not something that you work up on Sunday mornings alone, but something that is genuine. And what fuels that zeal? The fact that we have been redeemed. This is what Paul says in Romans 12, right? I beseech you therefore, brethren, on account of or by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, our response is, Lord, I want to serve you with everything I have. I want to present my body a living sacrifice. Later in Romans 12, he says, not being slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I have said for many, many years that I am convinced one of the reasons young people don't get very excited about serving the Lord is because they watch people who are serving the Lord. And it's like, boy, they seem like it's the most miserable thing in the world. Why would I want to do that? Wow, I watch mom and dad come to church and they kind of do church and they kind of exist in church, but it seems like the worst part of their week. Why would I want that for my life? I see mom and dad get excited about a football team. Nothing wrong with that, okay? I see them get excited about a football team or excited about a hobby or excited about something else, but serving God is like, hey guys, come on, we got to go to church. Let's go. You know, we got to do this, you know. And then they criticize church or they trash other people in the church, and it's a complete disconnect for them. And no wonder we have young people that don't want to serve the Lord. People ask me many, many times, Matt, you have two brothers that are serving the Lord and you're serving the Lord. What do you think your parents did? And you know, I'm like, I don't think my parents were really that special. Don't tell my mom and dad that, okay? They didn't do anything, you know, amazingly odd or weird or just revolutionary. But you know what I saw? I saw a mom and dad who loved serving the Lord. And it was just their life. They loved us and they loved serving the Lord. I had no question whether my parents loved me, and I had no question about whether they truly loved the Lord. The dad I saw in the pulpit was the dad I saw at home. And I think many times what young people see is they see somebody different here at church than what they see throughout the week. And so there's a disconnect. Some of you are going, Matt, get off parents. Leave us alone here, okay? I know. I'm right in that mold right now as a dad too. I'm right with you. But as a church, to be eager in serving the Lord. I don't know what your percentage is here at your church. You probably don't know. Pastor probably doesn't know. But you've probably heard the adage that 80% of the work gets done by 20% of the people. It shouldn't be, right? It ought to be that everybody is looking, Lord, how can I get invested in serving the Lord? And the only reason that I'm in Hong Kong is just because it was like, Lord, I want to serve you, so where do you want me to serve you? The only reason I was at the Wilds for 20 years was the same thing. People have asked, hey, what's the big difference between Hong Kong and the Wilds? Well, there's a lot of them, okay? But honestly, it's not a whole lot different because I'm just serving the Lord. And I'm not special because of that. That's not my point. I'm just saying for each of us, we ought to be saying, Lord, how can I be serving you? I want to be zealous for good works. You've saved me. I'm thankful for that. I can't wait to go to heaven. I'm looking for that blessed hope. But Lord, the very reason you saved me is so that I would be passionate and fervent and excited and enthusiastic about serving you. May this be the characteristic trait of our life in living for Jesus Christ, is that we are zealous for good works. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you so much that you have saved us. And Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning that is unsure of that. Lord, just like I'm praying for some of the young people there in Hong Kong and some of those that have been attending our services there in Hong Kong, that they would trust you. Lord, there may be someone here this morning that does not know you as their Savior. Maybe they are a visitor. Maybe they've been here a long time. In their own heart, they are struggling. Lord, I pray that they would trust in you. Thank you for sending your Son to redeem us from all iniquity. Thank you, Lord, that you want to save them. The grace of Jesus Christ has appeared to all men. And Lord, I pray that they would this morning trust you. And then, Lord, for those of us that know you as our Savior, we rejoice in that. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to set aside other things of lesser priority, to set aside our desire for worldliness, our desire for sin, and that, Lord, we would be known as a people that are zealous for good works, zealous for serving you. Lord, I pray that you would allow our homes to be that way, allow our church to be that way, and Lord, that only happens if we as individuals are that way. May you grant us the humility to admit when we're wrong and to allow you to change us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name.